say it was 42,000. That was the number that of white-tailed deer that were harvested. With the help of right now, we are offering a 3-for special, and you can call Alicia up at our office, and her number is 732-4800. We are offering our subscription package Christmas gifts, or you can log on to sportingjournal.com and see it there. And our guest this evening is none other, drum roll please, than our own Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife Deputy Commissioner, Colonel Tim Peabody. Welcome.
Retired Colonel.
Tim Retired Peabody. Colonel. Okay. It's the Air Force in me. I can't leave out the rank when I know somebody for who they are. So
thank you,
I remember back then, as I'm sure you do too.
It's 20 years ago.
Yes, and I can relate because I tell people I was in the Air Force for 20 years, and next month I'll have been retired as long as I was active duty in the Air Force. So time flies when you're having fun. Welcome. We appreciate you taking the ride up to the big city tonight, and we got a lot to discuss. We were at SAM ILA, the we're going to call it the Institute for Legislative Action, and went over and discussed a few things that we'll discuss tonight, and a few things that we may not have discussed that we still might discuss tonight. So see what happens. Well, let's see. We'll get right into the Outdoor Digest tonight, which is brought to you this week and every week by my favorite hunting and fishing outdoor publication, the Northwoods Sporting Journal.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting, fishing, loving every day.
And I will remind everybody, I keep forgetting to remind you, but if you have someone that is, we call them, displaced from Maine, a Mainer living in exile somewhere across this beautiful, wonderful country of ours, and they like the outdoors, make sure you let them know that they can go on to WVOMFM.com and then click on the menu button and podcasts and go to Maine Outdoors, and they can listen to all the previous episodes that are loaded on there. And more excitingly, if they download the Voice of Maine, WVOM app, on their phone, device, computer, they can actually listen live, streaming, to the Maine Outdoors. Imagine that. How far we've come, Norm, huh?
We have somebody in Florida listening today.
That's right.
Paul.
And I'm not going to shout out that far, but I am going to shout out to the Brewer Eddington area and just say, welcome, Woody, to the Maine Outdoors. Bob Lehman, you know Woody, if you're listening. Got a chance to meet with him at a Christmas party today. And what a perfect gentleman. And discussed some fly tying skills by none other than Bob Lehman. So you never know when Bob Lehman's name's going to come up across this country. So. Let's see. Sunrise today was at 7:02, and sunset was at 3:54. Length of day, 8 hours, 51 minutes. And we are approaching the shortest day of the year, and then we'll have that behind us, and we'll press on to longer days. We'll talk about days getting longer. And we'll mention this again, but I just wanted to mention it here on the Outdoor Digest, that next week, Sunday, December 18th, will be our Christmas giveaway extravaganza show with Bob Lehman and Norm Plord. They give away more things than I think you're allowed to, but as we used to say in the Air Force, it's better to ask forgiveness than it is permission, right?
Always works better.
All right. Well, that's what we're all about. Let's see. The last full moon we had was on December 7th. That was Wednesday. And that was the cold moon. And the next full moon we have coming up is January 6th. And that is known as the full wolf moon. So January 6th is our next full moon. And it's a gorgeous moon out there tonight. Every time you look, it's wane on, wax off. So this is a waxing moon, I believe. So wane is when it gets bigger, wax is when it gets smaller. So we're on the down trot. That's why you say all the deer used to come out and feed by the light of the moon. Yeah. Figure they're, that's when they could lay down during the day and I wouldn't get them. So not that I get them anyway, but that's what I used to use for an excuse. All right. Well, let's see. Let's ask a trivia question. And I would ask Deputy Commissioner Tim Peabody from Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife if he could shoot the trivia question out to everybody and see if anybody knows what the answer is.
Most certainly could, Jim. How many deer were harvested in Maine for the 2022 fall season, which muzzleloader season just ended yesterday?
Yeah. Okay. And I remember seeing some Facebook posts. Some hunters were successful yesterday, so I don't know if those are considered in or anticipated in, but we got a number in mind. If you think you know, give us a call, 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. This is Jim Thorne with you tonight on Maine Outdoors. We're here Sunday, December 11th. And before we went to commercial, we asked trivia question, how many deer were harvested in Maine for the 2022 fall season? And we got a couple callers. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Sean from Moscow.
Sean from Moscow. How you doing, Sean?
Pretty good. How are you?
Did you get your Big Skull and Antler book?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Wasn't that incredible?
Yes, I enjoy the book. I look through it all the time.
I'll tell you, just when you think you've seen and remembered everything in the book, you go back and you find something that fascinates you. So that's a good read.
Yes.
Are you mobile tonight?
Yes, I am.
All right. Heading out or heading home?
I'm heading home.
All right. Well, drive safe.
Thank you.
Well,
I think the answer to the question might be, my memory ain't what it used to be, but I think a week or so ago, I saw it was right about 49,000.
49,000. I think I've asked a question I don't know the information for. And the reason I say that is because I went on and it was 42,000 on the website that I went on. And then I was just asking Deputy Commissioner Peabody, and he said that there's a live update that I can't seem to access on this. So, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. Because I can't verify the real answer.
I think it's in the high 48,000.
Yeah, I know it was a record year this year. I do know that because we were discussing that on Monday. But when I was when the
records
slide
since the 60s.
Yeah, and when the slide came up, I didn't write it down, but I'll tell you, I'll give it to you. Now let me ask you this: did you go deer hunting this year?
Yes, I did, as much as I could.
Did you have any luck?
I did finally fill my doe tag. I wasn't able to shoot the buck.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that one, too, because that was that contributed greatly to our success this year as a state, getting the numbers that the state was looking for to get harvested. So,
I agree, and I think it was a good decision with overloaded with does and not many bucks.
Yeah, and I mentioned that I brought my grandson out, and he was, I don't make him shoot anything he doesn't want to, but on youth day, we had 10 deer in the field, and not one of them had headgear. And, you know, he was, I said, you know, if you want to take one, take one. He says, no, he says, I think I'll wait for a buck. And we discussed that Monday, how that's what it was. And I think last time I had Commissioner Camuso on here, she had mentioned that they had to issue 10 any deer permits to harvest one antlerless deer, because everybody kept that in their pocket and said, well, I'll hold out for a buck. And, you know, this way, at least it allowed for a lot more of the harvest that the biologists were looking for in the herd. So,
well, when I was a younger man, I always held out for the buck, and I ate a lot of wish deer.
Yeah, track soup.
Yes, track soup.
Yeah.
And as I'm older now, I just soon have the meat.
Yeah, and you're with a lot of folks, so glad that we're able to get a compromise. It's not a perfect system, but from everything that we've heard, input that I heard on Monday down at Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, the Institute for Legislative Action, that meeting, general consensus seemed to be that it worked better than the other way. So, good. Well, all right, Sean. I haven't told you what you won, did I?
No, you didn't.
What do you want? Well, you know, we ought to have a wheel.
Why don't you buy him a hunting license for next year?
Spin the wheel.
It is Christmas time.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sitting on Santa's lap.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Another one of the...
Go ahead.
No. Send me what you want.
All right. Tell you what. We will let you gift a subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal to a friend, a buddy, a relative, somebody that likes to hunt and fish. How's that?
I will do that. Gladly.
All right. Well, we'll go with that. And I don't know if Norm has your address down from last time or not, but you hold on.
No,
and,
I don't memorize those.
All right. We'll get that squared away. Again, thank you, Sean, for listening. And drive safe. And congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right. That was Sean from Moscow. He's won before. I think he's given Traft and Hutchins a run for his money for trivia questions won. But we here at the Maine Outdoors, we just want to make sure everybody's happy. That's all. We just... So you can win as often as you want.
I'm happy that he's happy about the antlerless deer permit system.
Yes, and that's, you know, that's proof is in the pudding. And there's a hunter right there that says he usually doesn't fill his doe tag, but the way it was set up this year. And maybe you could go into that a little bit while we're on the subject, how it changed from what it was to what it is now, and maybe a little bit about going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. One of the reasons that we did change it, and this wasn't all done by the department. It was done by a stakeholder group. The department really wanted it changed because we were not meeting our harvest goals, mm-hmm. and people were essentially hoarding doe permits.
Right.
Many people had three, you know, a permit and two bonuses in areas where we really wanted to harvest a lot of deer.
Right.
Zone 25, 24, down in that area. And the people that wanted to harvest a lot of deer didn't have the permits. I mean, that's what happened. So the recommendation, and again, it was a stakeholder group that got together and decided that, you know, to have the system the way it went this year where you had to pay, have some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did exactly what the department wanted it to do.
Yeah, I don't want to shift gears, but I'm gonna the turkey. I mean, wasn't there a similarity there where I think the fall harvest turned into where we weren't getting harvest numbers where the department wanted them, so they kind of said, well, rather than do that, we'll just, you can go ahead and pay as you go if you wanted to.
Well, I mean, you can shoot five mm-hmm. birds in the fall. I mean, that's really what changed there.
Yeah.
I mean, still the two in the spring and then five in the fall, one permit would do both.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those were changes over time. And we're still really not killing the turkeys we need to kill in the areas where we have a lot of turkeys.
Yeah. And my oversimplification process of saying that there's not enough deer in the north and there's too many deer in the south to get a strike a balance there is a multifaceted approach, which is habitat, predation, mortality, the deer wintering yard areas. And I know one of the things we discussed was the recent LD-404, I believe it was, the Land for Maine's Future.
Yes, I mean, that was a great effort by a lot of people. I know, you know, Sportsman Alliance of Maine was a big driver in LD-404, you know, championing that. And that's been great for the department to really go out there and be able to purchase deer wintering areas. They're a challenge to find. I mean, you just don't drive around. You have to have a willing seller. It has to be good ground, mm-hmm. historical deer area. But now we have money available.
Yeah.
Thanks to LD-404. Thanks for the $40 million Land for Maine Future. We're able to purchase it. And the Reed Deadwater purchase, 6,000 acres, that's the acreage we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the latest Land for Maine Future.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of land.
Yeah.
Is there a minimum amount that would be, you know, realistically worthwhile to put under that program?
We're almost drawing the line at 500 acres. Mm-hmm. You know, we will piece together properties if it's along a water course. Caribou Stream mm-hmm. is a purchase that we're working on. In Aroostook County, and that's two areas. I think one was 300 and the other was four. I think it was a 700-acre total up there. But
yep.
it's along a stream, Caribou Stream.
Yep.
And so we're looking at something like that, but we're not looking at 50 or 100 acres. We're looking for, we want 5,000 acres.
Mm-hmm. You know. And that just makes it so that you're able to implement a lot of and they're mostly working forest projects.
Yes.
And there's some planting that is involved and considered in some areas, depending on, you know, the wintering source, if it's fields or things that help them, the deer, get through the winter by bulking up and storing fat.
Yeah, it's a full meal deal,
yeah.
lack of a better term. We need the acreage to manage appropriately for summer range, you know, winter feed area, winter cover, and you're basically timber harvesting to grow, you know, quality deer habitat, not to make money selling timber.
Yeah,
but so you will be harvesting, but you'll be doing it for a reason to help the deer herd.
And meanwhile, the land is available to recreation.
Absolutely.
Not just hunting, fishing, but
no,
everything, hiding.
Everything. Hiking. No, this is purchasing the Land for Maine Future. It's all outdoor recreation.
Mm-hmm.
It's wide open. It's a great program, and we're really looking forward to the momentum that we have now for deer wintering areas.
Right. So, and is there a typical that we're seeing landowner that has that? I mean, is it timber operators or private? Or
it's a mix. We've got some private landowners in Western Maine we're working with right now that have large acreage, but primarily it's commercial timberland that we're really looking at, and not a lot of people want to sell.
All right. Well, we're going to pay some bills. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this and some other programs that are in the process and also on the radar for the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. So stay tuned. be right back after these messages.